both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only be talking the truth, only be talking the truth, ayy.
It is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Thursday morning, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. We spent a lot of time after last Thursday night's disaster, right? And the fallout with the Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph back and forth, where Garrett ends up hitting Rudolph over the head with his own helmet. He gets the indefinite suspension, which is appealing with the National Football League. And we talked about Mason Rudolph not getting anything from the National Football League. And the early report was that a fine was likely. We played the comments from, you know, Mike Tomlin before in terms of what transpired. A couple days later, he wouldn't dress it right after the game. You heard from Freddie Kitchens. We certainly hear from Myles Garrett. Here's Mason Rudolph once again talking about what transpired last Thursday night.
It was an unfortunate situation for everyone involved. I consider it a privilege, not a right, to be part of the NFL, to be part of a first-class organization representing the Rooney family and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I fell short of that expectation last Thursday night. In how I played, I did not do a good enough job to help our team win the game. Looking back, on the final play of the game, or, the second-to-last play of the game, I fell short of the mark there, too. Should have done a better job of keeping my cool in that situation. And in retrospect, I put Marquise Pouncey, probably one of the best teammates I've ever had, in a tough spot, as well as my teammates. So the way I saw it, on the final play of the game, with the game in hand the way it was, it had been, we had already lost two of our players to targeting penalties from the game. And as I released the ball, I took a late shot. Did not agree with the way he then, took me to the ground. And my natural reaction was just to get him off from on top of me. And, again, I should have done a better job handling that situation.
I think he threw himself on the sword, so to speak. I think he clearly frustration at the end there, Taz. He took accountability for his actions last Thursday night. Doesn't mean the NFL shouldn't have acted upon him about what he did. And what he had to say yesterday was dead on correct.
Yeah, why did it take so long to come out with it, though?
That's a good point, yeah.
I would think Mason Rudolph is sharp enough of a pro athlete and an NFL quarterback to realize, if he's watched that play back a bunch of times, I really think, in defense to Myles Garrett, I think Garrett felt like Rudolph had the ball still. Like he didn't throw the ball to his left in the flat to that running back. I really think Garrett thought that he had the ball. I'm telling you. But whatever. And then they get into the fight. I do like that Mason Rudolph did mention and shout out Pouncey and say he's a great teammate and he feels bad that he put him in that position, paraphrasing what he said. But I think that was really cool that Mason Rudolph said that.
Doesn't the back judge, though, usually yell out? I mean, sometimes don't they yell out balls out?
Yeah, but you know what happens? When you're engaged, though, when you're physically engaged, you don't hear that. You're not a robot. You're a human, and your testosterone levels through the roof. Your rage is through the roof. You're closing in. The sense of urgency, the closer you get to that QB when he has the ball, amps up. And then once you engage him, you think you just got yourself a sack. I don't care what point in the game it is or what the score is.
Right.
You're not hearing the ref say that the ball's out.
Okay.
You're just not. I mean, so regardless, I mean, I, you know, I just, it's weird that it came out of, you know, several days after maybe it should have.
Yeah, I mean,
but, you know,
it should have come out earlier. I mean, it's good that it did come out, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's good that he did have to say something. You're right. I mean, it probably should have come out Monday or Tuesday of this week. It comes out Wednesday. It's a little bit late, but it's still, I think you take it and you understand where he's coming from. And at least he came out and said it. And he talked to, and he basically apologized for his behavior. And rightfully so. I mean, rightfully so. We talked about earlier in the week about Antonio Brown apologizing to Robert Kraft, right? Antonio Brown is a desperate wide receiver, right? He is trying to claw back on some of the money that he feels is owed to him, whether I believe from the Patriots and the Raiders. I mean, how many lawsuits was it? I mean, I think it's like 8 or 9 different things that he's trying to get back from NFL teams in terms of bonuses and the like, and guaranteed money or non-guaranteed money. So it's an absolute mess. The Players Association dealing with that. And clearly, if he is signed by another team, Taz, you know, we're talking about he could be placed on suspension as well for everything that led to his release from the New England Patriots earlier in the regular season after he was initially released by the Oakland Raiders and after the Raiders acquired him via trade in the offseason. Got all that? Yeah. That's been the wild world of Antonio Brown this year. So he went out there and apologized to Robert Kraft. Here's Bill Belichick being asked, because we know that Patriot offense has struggled and we know there have been rampant rumors about maybe the Patriots bringing Antonio Brown back. Here's Belichick addressing the AB scenario.
Yeah, you have to talk to Robert about that. I mean, every week you guys ask me about a player who's not on our team, and so every week it's going to be the same answer.
There you go.
All right.
Nice little love you.
What does he expect? I mean, you know, really.
Well, that's great. I just love Belichick.
No, I know. Me too.
I love Belichick's responses. I do. It's just funny.
Yeah. I do think he does get frustrated with the questions, though. I mean, I do. But he expects everyone to be Belichick. This is just like him, where it's all football, all the time, all business, and that's not the way it is. You know, these reporters, these men and women have a job to do. They got to get information. They got to ask these questions. The audience wants that. Their bosses want that. You know what I mean? Like, they have to do that. So I do think once Belichick's away from the facility and he sits down and thinks about it, he knows these guys and girls are doing their job.
Yeah.
But it's like the same shtick over and over and over again. But it's still entertaining, I got to say. You're right. Belichick's funny.
Well, he plays the hits with the way that he delivers it. Now, the case is when you look at Antonio Brown, I mean, clearly he's a guy that's desperate. He's apologizing. Is he really a changed man? I mean, I don't think Antonio Brown's a changed
tough
man.
Tough to trust him, man.
No, it's impossible. I think you're being kind to him. You're being good to him, Taz. I think it's impossible.
I think impossible is the better word.
I think he reeks of desperation. He's looking to get back in the league. He knows the clock is ticking. He's not 24 years of age, Taz. He's in his early 30s. He's been his own worst enemy with all of this nonsense and everything that's come out here. His behavior has been reprehensible. Some of the stories are true, but all of that being alleged, I look at it, Taz. I don't think there's a team. If Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks aren't bringing you in, what makes you lead you to believe another team's bringing in? And he had a golden opportunity. You know, that's the thing that's, you know, the Patriots basically told him to shut up. Don't go on social media. Don't do anything. And he could not help himself because he felt he was above the team. And the Patriots basically said enough.
I think
Kraft gets rid of him.
You're right, man. And I think part of that, when it was with the Pats, that really, and I was joking around about it early in the week, we were talking about it. When he went into that the TB12 facility and the guy Guerrero was in there, but Brady wasn't. Antonio Brown, and he was on either, I don't know if he was on his Instagram live or if he was on Twitter. I don't know what social platform he was on. But I don't think that sat well with Tom Brady. And then all this other stuff that happened with him off the field and all the stuff that resurfaced and all this jazz. Look, Belichick and company, they're just not going to deal with that. They're just not. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. They probably told him, this is, you know, you got one shot here to do the right thing. And they even had people hustling to, you know, out of the locker room to wherever to avoid the media once he started playing on the team, just to protect him from himself. But I think the guy is like addicted to social media. I don't know what the heck it was.
He might be addicted to just the attention of it all.
Yeah,
And now he realizes that is, you know, his NFL career is ticking here. And I don't know what is. I mean, the question would be is, you know, you know, I said impossible. What would be the case that would lead you to trust Antonio Brown again? What would you need to see from Antonio Brown in order to trust him again, to bring him in, to sign him, to add him to your team, to bring him into your locker room, that you think he's not going to be a distraction? What exactly, what path would he have to go down to prove that to any NFL team, owner, general manager, scout, head coach? What would he need to do?
That's a tough one, but I'm going to give you an answer that's not going to be popular, and probably no one else will give this answer, and some people might think I'm crazy for saying it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think that, and I know it'll never happen, just humor me for a second, I think if he went and played in another league like the XFL, okay, or the CFL for 1 year and just balled out and been the great player he is and not caused any problems, then I think NFL executives, owners, and coaches would trust him about it, would trust him better. I think he needs a little bit of humble pie. I think he needs a little bit of we need to see a pattern of him doing the right thing for a whole season. And teams have taken chances on him now, and he's blown things up bad, like real bad. So I do think they need to see a pattern of like a whole season. And I don't think there's any NFL team that's going to give him that chance.
Yeah.
You know, I do think, I'm not saying he's going to end up in the XFL. I'm not saying he's going to end up in CFL.
No, I know what you mean.
I'm not even implying it. I'm just saying that's what I think.
You know what? It's not a bad idea. Taz, I'll be honest with you. I don't think there's anything you can do.
You don't even think that would work?
I don't.
So hold on a minute. You're telling me you think that if he went to play for Toronto Argonauts, okay, and he's this big star there.
Yeah.
And there's nothing. There's no issues with him, no drama with him, no matter how the Argonauts are doing.
Yep.
You think even then, after a season of that, an NFL ownership and
I think people say, well, he's on his best behavior because he's trying to get back in the league.
But at least he did it for a year, right?
I mean, but then the nonsense will continue when I bring him into my team.
Wow. I'm surprised you said that. But I see what you're saying. So you feel like that, if that's the case,
I think
then you kind of sound like you think he's done.
Well, no, because I do think there's talent. I think a team will always gamble on talent. I think a team would basically bring him in and have to kind of hold their nose when they bring him in and have an understanding of what they're getting into. I don't think there's a team that's going to, if he's back in the league, Taz, I don't think a team's going to completely trust Antonio Brown. I don't think he can overcome all the damage and the nonsense that he's done. All the reports out of Pittsburgh, everything that didn't get out at the time that's gotten out now, everything that happened in Oakland, everything that happened in New England, all the allegations away from the field, even his stuff coming out now, I mean, he's going out there and, you know, look at how nasty he was after he gets released by the Pats. Like, just nasty. I mean, well, the stuff with Roethlisberger and the stuff with Kraft and everything like that. I mean, think about that. Think about that guy going out there and saying that kind of stuff. And then, you know what? That reeks of no personal accountability.
Yeah.
You know, that reeks of a guy that's basically
saying... Well, no control.
There's nobody that tells him no.
Right.
Anybody in his life that says, no, don't do that?
No. I think there's no one.
They're probably all like, hey, Antonio, that's a great... Right. He probably wakes up and basically someone tells him it right when he's getting his a bowl of cereal. The NFL screwed you, Antonio.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Happy Thursday.
Those are people, money grab Jones around him. That's what that is. All those people that are just trying to get... But he's running out of money, I guess. But here's the thing. So he's blown things up with the Steelers, right?
Yep.
The Raiders, right? The Pats. Right? So those are three pretty storied franchises in the NFL.
Yes, I would say so,
He blew it up, too, with the Buffalo Bills, let's be honest.
True.
He blew it up with them. That's four teams, or coincidentally, all AFC teams, right? Anybody we're missing that he blew it up? I know he played for those teams, but or was in, you know, well, not the Bills. The Bills he didn't play for, but still, you know, that whole thing happened.
I know, where he rejected the trade.
Correct, and he punked them out, you know. And
was there any...
I feel like there was somebody else during that time for going from Pittsburgh...
Oh, is there anybody that...
to Oakland, right? Was there another team or not? No?
I don't remember another, no.
So that's four teams. That's four owners. That's four head coaches. That's, you know, I mean, these guys, there's a fraternity, there's a club amongst them. There's respect amongst these owners, amongst these GMs, amongst most of these coaches, dude. They all talk.
Belichick, Gruden, and Tomlin.
Oh, God, I mean, that's like, hello.
I mean, you're talking about three of the best coaches in the NFL.
I didn't think of it like that, but yeah, those are iconic coaches.
Right, very influential guys.
So if you are if you're Sean McDermott, who's a younger guy, who's not to the level of a head coach of those men you just mentioned, And you're the head coach of the Bills, and let's say that stuff didn't happen with the Bills where he just did what he did, but you would say to yourself, geez, he made Gruden look like a schmuck. He made Belichick, almost made Belichick look like an idiot. And Tomlin, he completely disrespected.
Yep.
What would he do to me if I'm a, you know, Sean McVay from the Rams, like a young guy, or McDermott from the Bills? You know what I mean?
Oh,
I'm talking
yeah.
about younger coaches.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right,
Adam
trying
Gaines
to run right
Jets.
Over me.
Right, right. If he punked out these iconic head coaches, how's he going to be with me?
All guys
as a
that
young,
have won.
Right. Won and that are respected
right.
immensely.
And won without him.
Right, right, right. So that's the thing that these guys, you know, I think the only way he does that is to get back in is. Play somewhere else in another league for
yeah,
a year.
I mean,
I don't think it's going to happen.
And Taz, you might be right. That might be the path. But, you know, does Antonio Brown do that?
No.
Now, is Antonio Brown
no.
playing in the XFL in February?
His ego.
Is he going to go and go in the Canadian Football League?
I don't think he loves football enough to do it. I hate to pass judgment on a guy, but he showed. I know he dealt a lot with his feet. Don't get me wrong. No, that was no joke. It sounds like a joke, but it wasn't. But then there was, look, he showed it with the Steelers. I mean, he had so much issues that he was on the sideline with a mink coat.
Right, and yeah, that's true. You're right about that. Right after everything that went down, he didn't want to run. Remember the hot route in practice?
That's right.
And,
yeah,
and then
that's
basically
right.
threw a temper tantrum because he felt like he was being disrespected in practice by Mike Tomlin and the coaching staff because they asked him to do something that he thought was below him. But here's the other interesting thing with, you know, the XFL and CFL, right? Didn't Vince McMahon, when he announced the league, said he did not want anybody that was had any kind of issues away from the football field?
Absolutely, he did. Like, yes, he said he didn't want it. And
now,
what a record of sorts. So, you know.
Now, he's not faced any kind of criminal charges, but there are allegations of sexual assault. Does that, you know, and we'll have to see how all that does play out. Does that affect his availability in the XFL? And remember, Manziel had to basically get the okay up there in the CFL because of his stuff away from the football field before he went up there and played in the Canadian Football League. Remember, it ended up being a disaster.
Well, probably just to get his work visa.
Well,
that was probably part of it.
Well, it was part of that, but there was something with the Canadian Football League. There's something in their kind of bylaws
where
a player has to be approved to be able to play. But
Makes sense.
Now, is Antonio Brown going to be cleared to play in the Canadian Football? Maybe he does. I'm just bringing up kind of a point of discussion
in terms of
it's not like there's a clear path for Antonio Brown when you bring up the XFL and CFL. I agree with you. I that might be the way to go about doing it. I don't know if a team would necessarily trust him, though, but do you think Antonio Brown would ever do it?
No. I think his ego's too big. I also think he'd want too much money unless he goes in there for low money because he just wants to show the league, I'm going to sacrifice another year of my career here and prove myself as a person. And I'll take the lower money from a CFL. Vince McMahon has enough money to pay Antonio Brown whatever he wants, but Vince McMahon isn't going to do that.
I would not make that investment.
No, Vince won't. I know he won't.
I'm just telling you. I would not make that investment.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I'm just saying he has the money to do it.
I mean, Vince has got more money than God.
He
doesn't have to worry about cash.
No, he's good.
Yeah. He doesn't have to worry about fluid money.
We got a little 1v1 action in this episode. You know about that?
Yes, we do.
You hear about that?
Yes, I did hear about that.
Big deal.
We'll get to that next. A little 1v1.
We haven't done that in a while.
It's been a while. It really has. It's right there with hot cheese.
You remember how to do not funny. You remember how to do 1v1, right?
Yes,
you know.
Yes.
Just want to make sure. I'm trying to refresh your memory. I'll tell you during a break if you don't forget.
Thank you, Taz. Do you remember?
No.
Thank you. Bellotti will go over with you.
He's going to go over. Yes. That's a good point.
There you go. All right. It's Taz and the Moose here on this Thursday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance.
Yeah, we were talking, Moose, about Antonio Brown. Can he get back in the league? And I felt like, well, maybe he goes plays in the XFL or CFL to prove himself for a year as a person or something. Who knows? I mean, let's go out to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, talk to Lou, listen on 100.3 FM. Lou, you're on with Taz and the Moose. What's up?
Taz, Moose. Hey, great show, guys. Listen to you every morning.
Thank you,
Lou. Buddy. Appreciate it.
Listen, guys, about AB, if any team ever signs this guy, the general manager, management, whole ownership has to have their heads examined. The guy, you know, you weigh talent versus off-field antics.
Right.
And it's just overbearing. The guy is just, he needs a full-time psychiatrist. The guy is just a head case.
Lou, I'm not gonna disagree, but let me ask you. Listen, seriously, I'm sure you heard what we were just talking about and what I suggested. If for some reason, I'm not saying it's going to happen, Lou. I was just saying this to Moose, you know, and Moose gets what I'm saying. If Antonio Brown went to the Canadian Football League for a year or to the XFL for a year and was on his best behavior and played great, and you're an NFL owner, would you then give him a chance the following year?
Right, if that could happen, but it can't. The guy is just too out of control personally.
No, but just, bro. So if he did that, then you'd give him a chance.
I would think they would give him a shot if he could take a year and prove himself that no off-field antics, and he just loves to hear himself on social media.
I know.
You know, at least go back to Kaepernick for a minute. At least Kaepernick got paid out. He got a big settlement from the NFL. What did he get, 20, 30, 40 million, whatever?
Well, it's never been released officially.
No way. You know, you got to give him credit.
Again,
Kaepernick went overseas and became the face of Nike overseas in China. So he got paid again. At least he's smart. He's getting paid.
Well, I mean, Lou, let's not bring the Kaepernick scenario as a number of different layers that can blossom into a number of different avenues here. Let's just stay focused here on Antonio Brown. When you look at Antonio Brown here, and maybe that's the way that he needs to go down. I don't know if he can necessarily, as Taz pointed out, humble himself to go up and play in the Canadian Football League or play in the XFL. You know, clearly the money is not going to be what he's used to making. Can Antonio Brown do that and prove himself to be a happy camper? I think it's got to be more than that. I mean, you know, there have been people that have talked about, and Lou, thanks a lot for the call. There have been people that have talked about, you know, he needs a little bit of help and support, Taz, or whatever it might be, someone to talk to, and people have speculated about that. What amazes me is this. I don't think I remember a guy in recent memory where, like, you heard stories that he was a pain in the rear end in Pittsburgh, but not like this.
Right.
To go from arguably the best receiver in the league to out of the league based on your own doing, and a team's not willing to touch you. And I get everything that surrounds, all these sexual assault allegations, but I'll be honest with you, Taz. You know, even with the way that he talked himself out of a couple of different spots, I mean, and when he couldn't really listen to the Patriots, he completely foobarred the situation out there in Oakland with the Raiders. You know, the Pittsburgh stuff was nonsense, and we were having fun with that. Remember Mr. Big Chest? He's on elliptical machine, and then he's by the pool with a slide in the background, and then he's sending out notifications to people and everything like that. Like, you look at Antonio Brown, though, you know, the perception of him as an individual, before it was just like, oh, you criticized him because he went on Facebook Live. Now he's basically gone from that guy to untouchable in the National Football League. It's amazing in the span of, what, 12 to 16 months?
Yeah, you're right.
It's crazy.
He's turned off so many of these executives and these coaches and probably players, probably high-profile players like a Tom Brady. You know, like these type guys, you know, that have juice with the organization. You know, do you want to be in a huddle with this guy? Do you want to be at practice with this guy? I'm sure a bunch of the Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger is going to tell you no.
Well,
no
you thanks. mentioned established head coach. What about if I have a young quarterback? It's the last guy I want to bring into my team.
Well, exactly.
The Buffalo Bills they would be done a favor. The last thing Josh Allen needs is Antonio Brown chirping in his ear.
It'd be a nightmare.
Like Jeremy Shockey used to do with the Giants. And Eli Manning.
You know,
a lot of people thought that led to a regression in his progress and growth as a quarterback. And then when he left, you know, you looked at Eli Manning, they felt like he obviously gained command of that huddle. You know, if I'm the Giants, if I'm the Jets, if I've got any young quarterback that's not established in the NFL, that's not already a star, am I bringing Am I bringing Antonio Brown in? I'm not.
Imagine him with the Browns.
Oh, my God. It would be a disaster.
Mayfield would be, he'd be worse than he is now, the attitude. You know what I mean? Like the whole demeanor.
Kindling to a fire.
Oh, with Beckham and all. Oh, that would be just a reality.
And there were people that speculate on that. Oh, look at Dorsey. He's going to bring him in. You have Landry, you have Beckham, and you have Antonio Brown, a receiver in Cleveland. There's not enough footballs to go around.
Well, they cut Callaway, right? They let him go right before the Monday night game, I believe.
Yeah.
So they got room.
They're not.
Well, we go from one AB to another.
Yes.
Not Andrew Bogus. His new name, he said, he wants to be called Antonio Bogus, is here.
Thank you, Taz, for granting me my wish.
You look like an Antonio. Not
I
really,
do. I've heard
it
before.
Would be funny if you were Antonio. Yeah, because if he was an Antonio, he'd be like, he looks like the way his hair is and the beard.
When I think of Antonio, I think of Antonio Banderas.
Yeah. Which I'm not.
Well, that was one of the most handsome men ever to live.
Suave
Ebola.
Yeah, no doubt. The accent, everything worked. I mean, just debonair.
Of an Antonio, I think of like a French painter. And that's what it, like with an easel. And that's what it looks like with AB here, Antonio Bogus.
Yeah, my
he looks like a French painter.
My French painter with an easel would be Pascal.
Mm.
Well, is that more of an Italian name?
No.
No. All right.
Pascal is a French name.
It's definitely a European name.
I don't know. I might be more from Italia. I don't know.
No, Pasquale
sounds
is the
like
Italian.
That. Sounds Pasquale. Like someone's getting to the GTS. Here we go. Yeah.
What's that?
That's you, boss. What's it? Tell me what it says. Pasquale, I think, is...
I wasn't looking it up.
Oh, come on. Look it up.
Superhero,
you're right there.
Or cartoon character.
No, you got your computer right in front
of you. It's broke. Mine broke. it just broke. Pasquale. This kind of sounds like...
I didn't say Pasquale. I said Pascal.
Mm.
Pasquale is Italian.
Are we splitting tomato, tomato? What are we doing here? Are we splitting hairs on that? You
We're
sure?
We're splitting languages.
It's different. Language. Those are two different names.
Are they really?
Yes.
Pasquale and Pascal?
Pascal, yes.
That's like Yakum. Saying Jimmy and Jim, right? Isn't it like this, but different?
I don't think it is, but I mean, I don't think it is.
All right.
Anyway, there you go. Antonio, take it away.
Hey, thanks.
That's all I wanted for you to call me Antonio.
Perfect. There you go.
The Houston Texans scored That's just great. 7 points. Deshaun Watson sacked 6 times Sunday in Baltimore. 5 days later, they have to deal with Frank Reich's Colts defense.
Our defense right now, and I know everybody in this room knows this, like our defense right now is legit. I mean, like we are, in my mind, one of the best defenses in the league playing right now. And we're playing as a unit.
The Texans and the Colts in Houston on Thursday Night Football. The winner gets sole possession of the AFC South.
Excuse me, sir. Yes, Mark Belusis was correct. Pascal, I just realized, is a French name. Pascal is my friend Basil Pascal. He's from France. Yeah. So Pascal is a French
mathematician.
Name. Yes. You know him too.
I do know him, yes.
The NFL has upheld the 1-game suspension of Browns D-lineman Larry Ogunjobi for his role in last week's brawl with the Steelers. Miles Garrett spent 2 hours at league headquarters yesterday morning appealing his indefinite suspension. Luka Doncic.
Take three.
Yes. Did it again.
Hardaway back to the flaring Doncic. Crossing over, stepping back over Robinson for three. I dare say Brady's in the zone.
Chuck Cooper's team, Brad Davis, Mavs Radio, Doncic, 22 points in the first quarter, 33 in the first half, 35 total in the 142-94 shellacking of the Warriors in Dallas. Doncic added 10 boards and 11 assists for his second consecutive triple-double, his 7th of the season. The Nuggets cooled off the Rockets, 105-95. Houston had won 8 straight. James Harden had at least 36 points in those 8, but just 27 last night. The Clippers outlasted the Celtics, 107-104 in OT at Staples. The Nets down the Hornets, 101-91. The Bucks outscored the Hawks, 135-127. And the Wizards topped the Spurs, 138-132. That's a 7-game losing streak for San Antonio, their longest under Greg Popovich. College hoops, number 2, Louisville beat USC Upstate, 76-50. Number 5, North Carolina topped Elon, 75-61. And number 20, Tennessee pounded Alabama State, 76-41. Memphis freshman forward James Wiseman suspended 11 more games. That's 12 total because Penny Hardaway paid for his family to move from Nashville to Memphis 2 years ago to play high school basketball for Penny. The Tigers found that out before beating Little Rock last night, 68-58. The New York Yankees. Yankees releasing outfielder Jacoby Ellsbury, eating the $26 million left on his contract. Ellsbury hasn't played in two seasons because of multiple injuries, and the Toronto Maple Leafs fired head coach Mike Babcock yesterday. They promote Sheldon Keefe from their top minor league affiliate, the Leafs, on a five-game losing streak. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it. Well, we'll get into a little Thursday night football.
Hold on a second.
Yeah. Did I say Sean? I meant Marash. Wow. Not Marash. Bogish. What's going on?
Wow.
Man. I don't know. I'm a little under the weather. I apologize. Thank you.
The best part was you said Sean. I looked up and Antonio, otherwise known as Andrew, he looked behind him. And there's basically a wall there. So,
my bad.
No, it was great. That was radio gold.
That was not radio gold. But thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it. I don't know why I said Marash, but there you go.
I'm calling him Sean forever.
Oh, very. That would work.
Sean Bogish.
Doesn't even sound like a real guy, right? It sounds like a fake guy.
We'll do one for one later or next segment?
We're going to get into a 1v1 and a little Thursday night football. We're going to do that. As the Texans get set to take on the Colts, we'll touch upon that matchup. We'll be a good one. It's Taz and the Moose here on this Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, on Sunday, the NFL on CBS is highlighted by a full afternoon of games, including an NFC South clash between Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints, and the Raiders on the road against the Jets. It all starts with JP and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Taz Moose, Thursday morning with you. Good Thursday night affair tonight, no?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's nice to see you're starting to morph more into a Thursday night football fan.
I wouldn't say that. It was a little strong. But I do like tonight's matchup.
No, there have been better games, though, dude. There's been stories.
There have been good games. You're right about that.
It's better than last year.
Yes, better than last year. I would agree with that.
And this is a good AFC. Sorry.
Last week's game wasn't great. I mean, you know, we wouldn't have spent a lot of time with it if not for the brawl.
True, but that's a story.
No,
8 seconds left. It saved the day.
But that's I know. But that's not the story you want coming out of a game. But I agree with you. Yes, it was a story, and that was a Thursday night game.
Right. And there was a lot of stars in that game, but it played well. But whatever. So no, you're right. Tonight is a big matchup: Colts, Texans, big AFC South. They're both 6-4. AFC South matchup. And so we figured, our great producer here, Mike Biseglia, otherwise known as Mikey B, the main host of Basketball Drives, he put together a nice 1v1 for us. Correct, Mike?
That's right, Colts-Texans.
Yeah,
that's
let's right. go. Right, here we go.
There it goes, deep left. That ball is high. That is far. That is gone. Giancarlo, no si può stopparlo.
Brady takes the snap. He backs up. A lob toward Gronkowski. Left. Reaches out. Extends. Makes the grab as he dives to the pylon. Touchdown, Patriots.
One versus one. The best versus the best. Taz, Moose, and you decide who is the best of the best. It's now time for 1v1 with Taz and the Moose.
Here's the 1-1. It's a ground ball to Keith Werman. Scoops it up, throws to first. It's perfection. Will Roberts has thrown a perfect game for the Cavaliers.
There you have it.
Epic call.
It was an epic call by Mike Biseglia there of a perfect game down there at UVA baseball. All right, Taz, 1v1. Who's going to win this AFC South, the Colts or the Texans?
Man, it's a tough one because, you know, Watson, hell of a job. Playing well this year at that QB spot for the Texans. Very athletic guy, very talented guy. We've seen his deal before. He's a stud. There's no doubt about it. Fan of his work. But I'm going to lean towards the Colts here. I believe in that offensive line. I mean, Brissett's playing well, too. Max running the ball well. I don't know. Just that offensive line, I'm a fan of it. I think that's a big part of what their success is, led by Quentin Nelson. He does a hell of a job at that left guard spot. You know, so I would lean towards that, towards the Colts a little bit more than the Texans. How about you?
You know, I would probably... I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go with Indianapolis. Number of different... Now, the Mac injury certainly hurts their ground game. What you love about Indianapolis and what you love about Frank Reich is... Let's take it on different levels. I think Reich's a better head coach than Bill O'Brien. I think he's a better game planner. I think you've seen that early on. I think the way that this team has responded after the sudden Andrew Luck retirement during the course of the offseason, and the way that this team is sitting here entering Week 12 in the Thursday Night Affair tonight, Taz, sitting here at 6-4, I think it says a lot about that coaching staff. I understand the players, too, but I think for Reich, and I've been really impressed with him as a head coach. So I think Reich is a better head coach than Bill O'Brien. Now, you get to the rosters, you get to the teams. What you love about Indianapolis when Brissett is healthy is that they can beat you in a lot of different ways. The offensive line, which you mentioned in terms of Quentin Nelson, who might be the best offensive lineman pound for pound in the National Football League, leading that offensive line. They play nasty. They play tough. They're really good. They can win at the point of attack. They're good pass blockers. But Brissett has shown you the ability to win with his arm, and he's also shown you the ability to be a game manager and hand the football off. I like the fact that Reich is kind of very Patriot-like offensively with the game plan that he puts together in terms of the style and fashion in which they play offense, and they adjust based on their opponent. And then you get to the defense, and I think now with the injuries, especially with J.J. Watt on the Houston Texans, you know, I think there are just as many playmakers on that Colt defense as there is in Houston. So
completely agree with that. That's a fact. You're right about that.
And I love, you know, listen, I love Watson. We've talked about Deshaun Watson a lot. He's a great player, and he can make up for a lot of ills. That offensive line's still a problem, even with the acquisition of Laramie Tunsil. They don't run it as well. They've got dynamic wide receivers. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, I think, is better than T.Y. Hilton when Hilton is healthy. But I am going to side with the Indianapolis Colts. I think they're the better football team all around.
Yeah, no, I do too. There's just, and again, like I said, that O-line, offensive line play just changes the game for any team. I mean, that's it's the non-sexy position. It's no one really talks about the casual football fan, or even sometimes the hardcore football fan doesn't pay attention to what happens on the line of scrimmage. But that's the game. That's the game, as we know. That is the game. That's how you win the game.
True.
Offensively is on that offensive line, and defensively. You know, defensively, if you have good defensive linemen, you know, defensive ends and D tackles or nose tackle, if they're talented enough, a lot of people don't realize this real quick. The job of an interior defensive lineman is to keep the center and the guards off of the linebackers. That's their job, believe it or not. Now, no one ever talks about that, but you work with David Deal on Sundays. You mentioned that to Deal. He'll tell you that's true. A lot of people don't realize that.
No doubt. That's you're right. Fact. Right. Yeah. Right.
Keep the linebackers free.
Right. Gap integrity. Free up the linebackers to make plays.
That's it. That's your job as a D lineman. Correct. So, anyway, this game is in Houston. I think that plays. Tonight's game is in Houston. I think that plays. That's going to help the Texans for sure. I think the home field advantage will help them. But we'll see, man. I think it's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to it. You going to be locked in or what?
I'm going to watch tonight. I am.
You think it's going to be good? I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good game. I mean, it's not like I don't watch the Thursday night game.
No, I know you watch them.
I know. I know we disagree on you know, loving or liking or, you know, agreeing with them having a Thursday night affair. Yeah, I think this is a good matchup. You know, I think I think a little bit of the shine comes off of it because of the way the Texans got destroyed by the Baltimore Ravens. No, I mean, Baltimore just, you know, I tweeted out last Sunday, Taz. I mean, the Ravens basically took the Texans' soul down in Baltimore last weekend.
You tweeted that.
Yeah.
That was a strong line by you.
I mean, but Taz, let me ask you this. Don't you think it takes a little bit of the shine?
It's like an Undertaker line.
Yes.
You're like the Undertaker.
That is an Undertaker line. And by far, I am no wrestler. I've never been a wrestler.
Well, that's not completely true. You've been in the ring.
Oh, I've been in the ring
once. You've done your training.
I did training for 45 minutes. I'm not going to build it up to be more than it is.
If I was there, oh, man, you'd still be running those ropes. I'd have you running, blowing whistles.
I'm sure you would have.
Screaming at you.
I was there with the great Kurt Hawkins.
Kurt's the man. He's a lot nicer than me as a
trainer.
Very good
guy. Big Met fan.
Huge Met fan.
All wrestlers are all Met fans.
A lot are, actually.
Yeah, I know. I mean, every wrestler I meet is a Met fan. Anyway, so, but So do you think any of the heat off tonight's game gets taken away because of what the Ravens did to the Texans last Sunday?
I said it one time. Someone was production was speaking to me. I apologize.
No worries. Colts Texans tonight.
Yes.
I think it would have been a little bit more of a sexier matchup tonight if Baltimore didn't destroy Houston the way
absolutely.
That they did.
Yes, I agree. I completely agree. Yeah, no, you're right. Because it kind of takes that, you know, what Baltimore did, it kind of takes that. The other thing, too, I think we didn't mention is, I don't think you did, about T.Y. Hilton. He might be available tonight. He's missed a few games.
Missed three in a row.
Three in a row, four-time Pro Bowler, right? He's got a calf issue. So, you know what? He's anticipating that he's going to be available for tonight's game. It's a game-time decision, I believe, still, right now, as we sit here on this Thursday morning. So I think that's a big, big thing right there.
Don't disagree. It makes that offense a lot more dynamic. Big Pascal time. Is a good player as well.
Did you say Pascal?
I did. Pascal. He's a good player as well. Mike, who do you got? 1v1 Texans Colts.
I'm going Colts. And to piggyback again on what you said, Moose, you look at the coaching matchup. Wrights in their four times against each other is 3-1 versus O'Brien, including the playoff win last year, 21-7. And in the NFL, coaching is everything. And that distinction there, I trust him to win the big spot, and that's why I like the Colts to win the division.
All right, you like the Colts. All right.
Hot take.
Pete Bilotti.
So I'm going to piggyback off of both of you guys and
thank
say
you.
The Colts with the coaching, with all you guys on the coach.
What? But Pete, start over. This
wait,
is your
hold on. Reset. Please, reset. Please, reset.
Stop. I'll be counting.
No, let me set it to you, Mike. Bilotti, 1v1, Texans, Colts. Who do you like?
3-2-1.
I like the Colts.
Good job. That's it.
No explanation.
I mean, he tried the explanation, and there was a struggle. But we love Pete. He knows that.
No, I know. It was like we were throwing him off. We were doing this.
He's tough to throw off, too. I'll tell you that. That's what I do during the breaks. I go behind the glass, and I try to throw him off, and it's tough.
Always training.
Yeah, all right. You're always working the room. Or grinding away. Right.
I had a lot of things to say, and it all came out at once.
Yeah, that's all right.
I got it.
And the thing is, we understand each other.
Somewhere the Kingsman's laughing.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. That's a good point.
That was a good moment for the Kingsman.
That's a good point.
The Kingsman.
And speakerphone Jones. They're like, that was great.
Right.
Pete got tongue-tied.
Right. Yeah, they love that. They love that. They love when Pete gets all... Right. That's it.
Dude, you're right.
Oh. Pete just made the Kingsman's day.
Yeah.
It's all downhill from here.
I'm going right on Twitter. I guarantee you. No, we're on a delay, right? So it won't be there yet. But then I think the Kingman gets the actual live feed.
That's right. We feed him the live feed.
Yes. He gets right. He has an ISDN connection 24/7, CBS Sports Radio, right into his house.
Right. The phone line barely worked, but the Kingsman has his own.
Yeah, right. Right.
I'm sure he heard you on the fan yesterday. He's a
New York guy. A month.
He listens to the fan all the time. I'm sure he heard
you. I'm sure he did, yeah.
You and Maggie?
Did you call them? Well, he did not. No. He did not hear from the Kingsman yesterday. No.
I was trying to get some of the We Over members of the Tri-State area to call in. That would have been great.
Speakerphone Jones texted me and said, I'm going to miss you. Like a week ago.
Oh, I guess.
No, a few days ago. I said something. Oh, we were talking about
the same thing.
They were talking about the Kardashians.
Oh.
And he said, 600 million, I love you, Moose. I'm going to miss you. I'm like, where am I going?
I don't understand. Why did he say that to you?
Dude, I don't know. I didn't ask for an explanation. I didn't say, why are you saying this to me, Speakerphone Jones? But that's what he tweeted me.
Well, Mike can find out.
He says, I love you with the crying emoji or laughing emoji, hysterically. And then he said, I'm going to miss you, Moose. Hashtag Taz and the Moose. Hashtag we over. Hashtag happy Tuesday.
Hashtag Mark.
Mark it! Hashtag Uber Eats.
Hashtag
with his driver number.
Mikey B's son.
Sign me up.
Right? He's just
I wanted to tweet him. I'm like, what are we doing? Well, you're saying goodbye. I'm not
he must
going
have got
anywhere.
A memo on something. That's probably what
he got a memo. There's a memo
I
put
think there's
out?
A memo. Yeah.
Is there really?
Nah, I think so.
You got it?
I know a guy who got it. I didn't get it.
You do?
That's not true. You're always the last to know.
I'm thank you. You're probably right.
I mean,
no, I am. You're right.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Speakerphone Jones. I mean, if someone randomly tweets you, I'm going to miss you, pal. Like,
he didn't randomly. No, it wasn't. Well, yes, it was random, but it was of something that we talked about. It wasn't like it was just like out of the, I'm going to miss you. Like,
you talk to Speakerphone Jones on a regular?
I do not. But he tweets us all the time.
I know. Speaking of
Mike Twitter, talks to him all the time.
That's his son.
Once or twice a day.
Yeah, there you go.
Kingsman's going to rip people out of here. It's going to be great.
Anyway, yes, there you go. Come back. We got the three for you. It's Taz and the Moose on this Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome.